Well, good morning, everyone, and welcome to Coffee and the Word. It is a new year, and I am so excited to be back with messages of encouragement and inspiration for you guys. You know, when I think about a new year, really for the last few weeks, even before the new year began, God just kept dropping this one word in my spirit, and that is simply the word new. And so I began to dig into the scriptures about what God says about new. And one of the things that I think we all need in our lives is we need newness. I think many of us have had enough of the old. I think sometimes, you know, you can look back and glean the best of the old. And I've had many wonderful things happen in this past year of 2012. Went through some major battles, but also saw God's hand at work. And so I'm going to earnestly remember the former things that God has done and brought me through, and I want to encourage all of us to do that because there's a huge value in remembering, but there's also a huge value in forgetting what lies behind and pressing toward the new that God is doing. Many times the Lord was showing me, many times people don't embrace the new or they don't even see the new because they're still so focused on the old and on the past and on what the things that they did, the things that went wrong, the things that didn't happen or haven't happened yet. And so God just really dropped this message in my spirit about new, and I want to read some scriptures to you. Isaiah 43, 18 through 19 says, "Forget the former things." In other words, do not dwell on the past. And then he says this word, "See," or "behold," or "look, I am doing a new thing. Now it springs up. Do you not recognize it? Do you not perceive it? I am even making a way in the desert and streams in your wasteland. So I want to read you the translation from the New English Bible. This isn't a Bible that I read very often, but when I was studying this passage, I came upon this. So listen to this. It says, "Don't brood over past history. Don't brood over the mistakes of years gone by. I, the Lord God, am doing a new thing in your life. Can't you see it? Can't you perceive it? It's like a bud springing from the ground. It's like a small crocus poking its head through the dirt. I'm doing a new thing in your life. Don't you see? Don't brood over past history or things gone by." So I loved that translation. How many times have I found myself brooding over past history, pondering on the things in the past that went wrong or didn't happen that I thought were going to happen? So he's saying to us, don't brood over the past. And as we said a moment ago, he says to earnestly remember the former things, the things that he's done, the ways that he's been faithful, the ways that he's turned certain situations around, because that encourages us to know that if God did it before, he can do it again. And so we know that all things work together for good for those who are in Christ Jesus. And so when we know that, then we can begin to look for the new thing. Yesterday I was driving to Hot Springs, as I do every Sunday that I'm in town, and I have an hour drive there and an hour drive back, and it's been such a blessing for me because it gives me an hour to completely unplug and focus on God and on what he might want to say and just really to worship him on the way to church. And so many times it's in our times of worship and stillness that God really imparts the most important messages. And so yesterday morning, almost immediately when I got in my car, the scripture came to me, "O taste and see that the Lord is good, for his mercies endureth forever." O taste and see that the Lord is good, for his mercies endureth forever. And so I kept hearing it over and over and over again in my spirit. Taste and see that the Lord is good, his mercies endureth forever. And so that actually comes from Psalm 34, 8. And I begin to think about this, and I begin to think about what does it mean to taste God? What does it mean to taste him? And Hebrews 6, 5 says, "Who have tasted the goodness of the Word of God. And then 1 Peter 2 and 3 says, now you have tasted that the Lord is good. And in the New Living Translation, Psalm 34:8 says, taste and see that the Lord is good. Oh, the joys of those who take refuge in Him. So here's what God gave me yesterday on the way in to church. This message of the newness, the new thing that God wants to do in our lives, the new thing that is springing forth. And many times we don't see the new thing because we're looking at the old and we're still hanging on to the old. But God said, if my people would taste me and see the goodness of who I am. And so I begin to think about all the ways that I've tasted God. And this past weekend, I went to a Christian leadership retreat at a wonderful place. It was just a neat place called the Family Farm in Malvern, and just all kinds of little baby animals. If you've seen my Facebook lately, you saw all the little animals and all the funny little subtitles that I gave them. But that place was amazing. But let me tell you something. That bunk bed I slept on was like a brick. It was literally like sleeping on a brick, a twin-size brick. And it was so interesting because they told us to bring our own bedding. Well, I don't have a sleeping bag. I don't own one. And there was no cushioning under me but a sheet, and which I will know better next time when I go. But what really impacted me, number one, is that I didn't sleep very well. I woke up very, very early and went downstairs by the fireplace and just spent hours just praying and pondering on the goodness of God. And suddenly yesterday morning it hit me. He said, you know, you taste me. You taste my goodness when you curl up in that soft bed that you have at your house. You taste me when you take a bite. I had eaten an amazing grapefruit yesterday morning. It was the sweetest, this ruby red, and it burst in my mouth, and I remember thinking, that is the best grapefruit I've ever tasted. And it was amazing because it was like immediately God said, you tasted of me. When you tasted that, I created that for you. When you woke up this morning and took a hot bath in wonderfully warm water, you tasted of me. And I begin to think of all of the people around the world that sleep on the ground, that have nowhere to sleep, that sleep in the streets, that every night they sleep on something as hard as that twin bed was for me. And I begin to be so thankful just for the little things, the fact that I have this warm home to come to, that I have this soft bed, that I get to taste this amazing fruit, that all of these gifts that He's given me, that many, many days go by and I never recognize that it's Him. I never recognize that it's God. I mean, and you may be on the call today going, well, that's kind of simplistic, you know, or you may even be saying, well, of course it's God. I think about that every day. But you know what I'm going to tell you? I don't think most people do. I know most days I don't. Most days I get up and I'm just taking for granted that I'm in a warm home. I'm taking for granted that I just got out of this amazingly soft and wonderful bed that I love. I'm taking for granted that I'm taking a hot shower or a hot bath. I'm taking for granted the food that I'm eating, the clothes that I'm wearing, and I'm not thinking that I'm tasting the goodness of God. And so it just made me so aware yesterday of all that God has already given us, of all that He has allowed us to enjoy. And yet so many times He showed me yesterday that I'm so focused on what hasn't happened, on what I don't have yet that I'm believing for, on the things that didn't go right that I believed would turn around but didn't. And I get focused on what hasn't happened and what I don't have and what I wish would change that I forget to taste and see. And I forget to behold the new thing, and I don't perceive the new thing that God wants to do in my life because I'm so zeroed in on the past. And so today, as we launch this new year and this Coffee in the Word, I just want to encourage everyone on the call today to be so aware. Do an experiment this week. And so yesterday I began this in my journal. I begin to write down everything that was in my life that was tasting God. And because I don't want to miss a thing. And I wrote down that grapefruit, and I wrote down my warm bed, and I wrote down my hot bath, and I wrote down my friends. I wrote down my family and the love. Oh, my God, if only we would focus on what he's already done for us and what he's already given us. And every single day, if we would just realize we are tasting him. But he wants us to not only taste him, but he wants us to see that it is him that is providing. You know, I think many times we don't get the new thing or the new things that we're praying for because we haven't yet tasted and seen what he's already done for us. We haven't tasted and seen what he's already provided. So I have to tell you, it impacted me in such a great way yesterday that I find myself, and when I think about God and I just get overwhelmed by his goodness, I cry. Because it amazes me what he does on a daily basis for us. And many times it's gone unnoticed by me because I'm so busy. I'm so focused on what hasn't happened yet or what I'm wanting to make happen or wanting God to make happen. If you go back in Isaiah 43, you look at verse 16. This is one of my favorites. And it was 3 years ago this month that I was crying out to God, and he gave me this message: arise, shake the dust off, get up. I go before you to prepare a way. And he began to speak to my heart. And then on February the 4th, he woke me up in the middle of the night. He gave me a book in 4 hours called Living Isaiah 30:18, and it changed my life forever. And verse 16 says, I make a way through the sea. I make a path through your mighty waters. So today, I want to encourage you, whatever your sea is, whatever your mighty water is, taste and see that he is good and that he promises to make a way through your sea and to make a path through your mighty waters. What seemed impossible to the Israelites when their back was against the Red Sea and the Egyptian army was advancing, and there seemed to be no way, God made a path through the mighty waters for them to cross over to the other side. So my prayer for all of us today as we launch this new year together is that we would taste the goodness of God in every situation. When you're in a situation, I want to encourage you just to become keenly aware of the tasting of God. And then see him in it and recognize and acknowledge him and then begin to thank him for it. You know, he created us to worship him. He created us for worship. And so many days I've gotten up and jumped and started my agenda and gotten so busy that I gave him a little lip service, maybe a nod. But this very new year, my prayer for all of us is that we would see him and taste him and all of these amazing things that he has already given us and already done for us, and that we would begin to perceive and recognize the new that God is doing. I am believing for divine appointments, for divine favor. For you that are on this call or listening to the sound of my voice today, I am believing for you for doors to open that no man can open, and I am believing for God to shut any doors that are not of him, so that you have a clear path through your sea and through your mighty waters. He will make a way in your sea. He will make a way in the desert. He will make streams. And, you know, I was thinking about that. He gives us that living water that we can cling to. In the book of Revelation 21:5, God is sitting upon the throne. And I have to tell you, this is the first time in the book of Revelation that we see God. And God is silent through this long period of things that are happening. The word of God says, and God spoke not, and God spoke not, and God spoke not. But then suddenly God spoke, and this is what he said. He said, look, Behold, I am making everything new. Isn't that amazing? He is making everything new. That's what he says in the book of Revelation, the very end of the Bible. And so 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, if anyone is in Christ Jesus, they are a new creation. The old has passed away. The new has come. And the Greek word for new is kainos. I'm assuming it's pronounced kainos, meaning new in character. And interestingly enough, this word new does not mean he's creating something new from nothing, which we know God can do that because he did that with the earth. He can create something new from nothing. But this word means that he takes the old, the worn out, the broken, the dirty, the flawed, the messed up, the cracked, and he restores it to newness. And so I want to leave you with that thought today, that God is doing something new inside of you. The old character, the old nature, the old messed up version that we were, God says, I behold, look, I make all things new. I'm going to take what's worn out, what's old, what's broken, what's dirty, what's flawed, what's messed up, what's cracked in your life, and I'm going to restore it. And so if you've ever seen a restored piece of antique furniture, and you've seen before the restoration process how ugly and dirty. In fact, many people throw things like that away because they look like they're worth nothing. But the restoration process peels off layers and layers and layers of junk and paint and different attempts to make that thing look different. And that's what God does in our lives. He strips away the junk. He strips away the old. And he restores us to newness of life. So today, go out into the world full of power, full of passion, full of purpose, knowing that he is doing a new thing in you. And when he does that new thing in you, you are going to be able to impact so many other people's lives because you will be able to be that light for someone else that is searching and that is looking. So thank you for dialing in today. God bless you, and let's stay powered up together. We'll be back Wednesday morning at 8 o'clock for Coffee in the Word. Why don't you enjoy or invite a friend to come and enjoy this with us who needs some encouragement and a message of power.